The scripture readings today, the first one comes from Ephesians 14 through 18, chapter 2. For Christ is our peace, and in his flesh he has made both groups one. He has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in the place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came to proclaim peace to those of you that are far off and those of you that are near. For through him both have access in the one Spirit to the Father. And then from Thessalonians chapter 3, just verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in all times and all ways. The Lord be with you all. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. So it is peacemaking, global witness, worldwide communion Sunday, and the scriptures have been set. It's always on the first Sunday of October, and I read these scriptures this year, and I thought, really, how am I going to preach them? Because my heart and spirit doesn't feel a lot of peace these days, and there seems to be this tension. I mean, just in our city, we have these fabulous Blue Angels that do a show, and everyone gets to see them, but yet if you are a person who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, they are very upsetting. And while they are gorgeous and amazing, they are also to be weapons of war. And while we have Proposition C, that some people believe and hope will have a way out of homelessness, you read today in the paper that the mayor and our two state senators say, this will not work, but they don't offer something in its place. And on a national level, I'm caught within this kind of, this unease, to say the least. I mean, when I opened the paper today, the headlines were terror and loss and survival out of the fire in Santa Rosa. An outraged nation racked by a display of rage and resentment at the new Supreme Court justice appointment. I've had people this week come and talk to me about being physically abused. Three of my friends have told stories to me or put it on Facebook, story they've never told before. There is some release for them, but it also brings the pain up and how hard it is for partners and friends and parents and spouses to learn about these things. It's a hard time that even the positive things, there's something really terrible had to go in front of it. There's a thing in the paper today about young people who are speaking up about guns getting in schools and kind of telling people in charge, but they're doing this because a young person was murdered by gun violence by another young person. There's this tension back and forth, and I wonder, really, what do these passages have to say to us today? And I realize I'm not the only one who is wrestling with this. John Dallas, who's a pastor, was struck that in these words of Thessalonians, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. In all times and all ways, the Lord be with you. And John says this, when I read this particular passage out of 2 Thessalonians, it makes me think of another famous or infamous time that this term was used. I think about being in 1938. It's the month of September. He's looking at a newsreel report about showing an airport, and in the rain, there's a man walking down the stairs from the airplane. He has a folded umbrella in one hand, and he's got some paper documents. It is the then Prime Minister of England, and he is just flying home from Germany, where he has been in a conference in Berlin, and he has that statement that he's waving in his hand to the crowd, and he says these words. It was Neville Chamberlain. He stepped off the plane and did this news conference in 1939. This is what he said. Well, 1938, he said these words. "We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the great British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and agreed on reconciling the question of the German-Anglo problem, that we want to deal with issues of these two countries, and we want German relations for those in Europe. In regard to the agreement signed last night, and the Anglo-German naval agreement is a symbolic desire that our two peoples will never go to war with each other again. We have reserved this method of consultation shall be the method applied to deal with any other questions that may concern our two countries. And we are committed to contribute to assure peace in Europe." And then he goes back to 10 Downing Streets and he says to a cheering crowd, "My good friends, this is the second time in our history that there has been coming from Germany to Downing Street peace with honor. I believe it is peace in our time." He said that with all sincerity. And imagine the contrast that happened 11 months later. The Third Reich invaded Poland and World War II was underway. And what a contrast, peace in our time to the Second World War. And what a contrast, I think, Paul's words of peace in our time, all times, to what we encounter today. In some ways, it feels like a bit of a pipe dream. It's a lovely image, but where does it speak to us in 2018? And if I'm not careful, I just kind of want to ignore it and say, oh, that's one of those things that will happen someday somewhere else. But then I force myself to dig into these chapters. The scripture we read today was written by Paul, who was an apostle, or wasn't one of the 12, but he was one of the first people that really tried to bring Christ's way outside of Israel into new communities. It was in the first century after Christ's death and resurrection that he was writing. And he was bringing this new way of following God to a people who were just drawn to this idea of new life and peace and hope. But when they started to live it out, it was a little harder than they expected. It was hard in some ways because both communities in Ephesus and Thessalonica were under some persecution. This was not an approved religion, so to say. And in Ephesus, there was Jews and Gentiles. This means people of the faith of Abraham and people who had never had a Jewish faith or trying to get along together into this new body of Christ, and it is not working so well. All at once, they are noticing their differences with each other, and they're arguing about the old Jewish ways are the best way, and the other people are saying no. And it's like they are building up walls that separate them. This community of Christ cannot get along together, and they're building up walls that say, you're over here, and I'm over here. And Paul is saying, oh, no, 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 no. Christ has come to build something new, something different. You both have access to God through Christ, something new, this new humanity in the place of two. Already conflicts are going on. And in Thessalonica, they're also being persecuted, but they're dealing with their own issues. If Christ said he was going to come again, why has he not come back yet? And they've got some internal soul searching going on. They are racked with concern that they're not good enough for God, that they won't be able to stand up to the challenges that will come their way. And instead of agreeing with them, Paul says that negative attitude has no place. You have strong points and you have abilities, and you need a new level of confidence that comes by being one of Christ's loved ones. With the help of Christ, you will find a new way of living, a new way of dealing with hostility. And that's kind of amazing to me that in the first century, they're having difficulties. And Paul says, you have to be about peace. And you know, peace then was used as a greeting and a good. Peace on your way to the market. Peace, I'm going to go home now. It had become almost casual. And he's saying, no, no, you have to understand the depth of this word. It's shalom. It means more and just an absence of conflict. Shalom means wholeness. It's reconciliation. It's seeking the good of the other first. It comes from being loved by God. And out of that love, you seek the best for everyone. And Paul has a longing that they learn how to deal with their conflicts within their own souls and with each other based on this peace. It's like they are dry and they need that water of peace once again. And he says to them, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. In all times, in all ways, the Lord be with you. And that's a beautiful image. And what he means, in all times, that means continually. That he offers a fullness of life, enough to sustain you. Not peace just when you greet each other, not peace on one day a year, but a kind of peace that's a resource, a kind of peace that is with us always. And the always is really interesting, too. It means always, omnipresent, continually, always say it's with you. It's like peace is like a Christian secret weapon in a violent and in a disheartening world. Paul is calling that group of Christians, I think even calls us, on this secret weapon, on this peace that helps us deal with any kind of conflict. And, you know, you might think, oh, that word is 2,000 years away, but I think it still speaks to us. What he is saying is peace is never easy. It's the kind of peace that is hard won. It's the kind of peace that comes from knowing you are loved by God and God is bigger than the evil. It's a sustained and a dependable peace that you face difficulties. And they're saying, yes, there will be difficulties, not a question. But when you're of peace, you make sure that your words aren't angry, that you see the other person as one of God. You know, when you think you're right, you often don't see that person as another human being. It's like if we're carrying bricks, some of us have been throwing them at people. Or we've been separating ourselves from those people when we don't like what they say. And there's a lot of things many of us don't like that are being said. And this kind of sustaining piece says you have to be about something deeper and more meaningful. It's like Paul is saying on behalf of Christ, you have a hand and a help in dealing with difficulty. But you have to have peace resolved within yourself first. You have to be sustained and kind of living in this way. He says, John Dallas says, sometimes we have a shortness of peace, like a shortness of breath. And I'm caught by that, a shortness of peace. Do you know it's like when you can't breathe, you can't get a big breath, and you can't be sustained? He is saying Christians have a shortness of breath, a shortness of peace, and we have to be able to breathe deeply of peace or we'll never be able to deal with the hopelessness in the world. And he reminds us that God longs for us to have a peaceful mind, a peaceful outlook, a peaceful witness to others, to be at peace, but know it is also hard, and we have to sustain it for peace to be there. It's always there, but how do we tap into that river of peace? And I think it's one of the reasons we have communion. That meal that reminds us of Christ being with the disciples and saying, you are loved, you are forgiven, lay down those bricks of hostility and come to my table. Be sustained. Get a new vision. It's also saying, yeah, I know who you are, and yet you are still loved by me. And on this worldwide communion, we remember the connectedness just in some ways of the Christian community. You probably know this worldwide communion started in 1933 in Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, where you're from. The pastor had a brother who was in Maryland, another Presbyterian pastor, and they realized that even their churches thought differently. So they had this special service where they talked about what they had in common. And I got to tell you, it didn't really catch on very quick until World War II. And then one of the people in that time said it started to get caught in people because it symbolized that things would somehow hold together, that somehow the gospel of Christ, the way of peace, would sustain them during that awful time of war. And think how surprised they would have been, or maybe not, that Germany is now our allies, that they are ones that are on the forefront of taking in refugees and making sure anti-Christian, anti-Muslim, to be against discrimination is taking place. Those people, would they have been surprised? Oh, I suspect so. But some wouldn't. They would have known the way of Christ sustains us. The way of Christ offers us hope. Food for the living and water for life. So friends, take your hearts that are a little brokenhearted maybe, that don't feel like there's hope in the world. There is, because the Lord of peace is with us at all times. So tap into your peace. Tap into your hope and eat and drink of this meal to remind you that God's love is with us and can sustain us for the living of these days, for the richness of the beauty of people who worship and live together. For that we give thanks this day and forevermore. Amen.